guys. You just looked like you were having fun while you were doing that. What a blessing. What a blessing. Yesterday we had a funeral here at the church, and after the funeral message, one of Ray's, it was my daughter-in-law, Stephanie's grandfather, who had died, Ray, and he was born in Northern Ireland, lived in Northern Ireland until he was in his 20s and immigrated to Canada, lived in Canada for several years and came to California and immigrated here to California. And one of his friends, his best friends, he had brought over here after he had been here. And he brought him over and he sponsored him to come to the United States. And so he was here. His name's Pete Morris. And Pete was here and he stood up after the service was done and he shared some stories about Ray, you know, back in Ireland. He read a poem that Ray had written about their hometown in Ireland. And then he said, I'd like to sing a song. And he broke into Danny Boy. And you guys all know Danny Boy, you know. There he is, just one little old man in his 80s, you know. Oh, Danny Boy, the pipes are piping. You know, and he just started singing out. And he didn't have the best voice or anything like that, but it was just like it rang through here. And I'm over here just starting to cry and stuff like that. I saw him afterwards, and I hugged him. I said, Pete, thanks so much for singing. I said, you know, my dad was in a quartet with his brothers, and they were all tenors, and they would sing that song occasionally. And whenever they did it, like after a family dinner or something, we were all expected just to sing it, and pretty soon everyone was singing in the household. Everyone was singing. And he said, well, I sure wish you would have sung it. I was hoping everyone was going to join me pretty soon. It sure would have been nice to have everyone help out. And I thought about what a gift it is to be able to do something and just, you know, not worry much about what everyone's going to think or say or do, but just hoping instead that they'll just join in and be a part of what you're doing. I thought about the message that I'm preaching this morning, the series that we're from. I'm on coming back from being crushed. There's a card inside your program this morning. We've talked about what it means to have, you know, open hearts and open hands. We've talked about what it means to keep on believing that God wants to do more. And this morning I want to talk about what it means to live forward in life. Because, you know, so often we live our lives just constantly looking backwards, constantly thinking about, oh, if I had only done this, oh, if I hadn't done that. And we're constantly focused on what we should have done or maybe what we could have done, and we're stuck somewhere in our past. And it's not helping us get anywhere forward. And if we're going to come back from that spot in our life where we've been crushed, and all of us have had that place where our spirit's been crushed, where our heart's been crushed, where our bodies have been crushed, and we don't know how we're going to come back. I think for one thing, it's a good thing occasionally to lift your voice to the heavens and sing Danny Boy. I think it's a good thing occasionally just to lift it up and hope that someone will come alongside with you in doing that. But I think even more than that, there are the real and genuine lessons from the gospel that God has given us to be able to learn. Now imagine for a second that you were God. Just for a second. Now, I know a lot of you are already going, yeah, like me being God, right? Well, you act like it every single day in your lives, don't you? I mean, think about it. Every single time you're disobedient to him, every single time you're not obedient, you're acting like you're God. So you might as well imagine it for a second. Imagine for a second that you were God and that you were put in charge of creating a human being. And your job was to make sure that this human being lived their life to the absolute fullest. Now, every single one of you as parents in here, that's the task you were given, actually. And what you did with this human being, as opposed to encourage this human being to live their life to the absolute full, what you did instead was you taught them how to be part of the machine. You know the machine. When we were in the 60s, we'd say, off the man. And whatever you do, don't become part of the machine. You know, what you want to do is you want to break, don't, you know, all in all, you know, we don't want to be a part of the wall. You know, whatever you do, you know, don't be a part of the machine. And what you did was you taught your kid to make sure they went to school, which was a good thing, so they could learn how to communicate, they could learn how to read. You made sure they went to college so they could learn how to have advanced reasoning, advanced thinking. And then you made sure they got a job, and they got a good job, and they got a good career. Then you made sure they got some credit cards, and they got a house so they'd have a good mortgage that'd be for, 20, 30 years of their life. And so they'd have the next 20 or 30 of their years of their life strapped down to something. And then you made sure that when they got to the end of that, that they were going to die making sure all their bills were paid. And they could be buried and say, Al Bartos paid his bills. And, you know, and that would be, he was one more cog in the wheel of the machine. Good job, Al. Now, when you think about it that way, how many of you think that that's what I would like to raise that creature that God has given me to be in charge of to be? And yet, isn't that what happened to most of us? Isn't that exactly what happened to most of us? And isn't that exactly what we essentially do to our children? Because that's what happened to us. And so we teach them how to be a part of this society. People are always blown away when I tell them about my travels. They'll say, you traveled the United States at the age of 15 in a Volkswagen bus with one of your friends? And I'll say, yeah, the whole summer. Say, why did your parents let you do that? I said, well, you're really going to have a kick when you found out what they did the summer when I was 16. They let me go to Europe for the entire summer. And I backpacked for 3 months all over Europe. See, they let you do that at the age of 16? Yeah, it was the best summer ever. I bet. Wish my parents would have let me do that. And this is what I counsel the parents on a regular basis. I say, if there's one lesson I can give you as a parent, it's a lesson that my parents gave me, is learn how to say yes. Learn how to say yes, because it's the truth. As your children get older, you know, it doesn't matter how many times you say no. Are they going to listen to you when they're teenagers? They're going to be ignoring you for the most part either way. So what if you started saying yes when they wanted to go on their adventures? What if you started saying yes, understanding that life is risky, understanding that there are going to be problems? And what if when we decided that God had given us this person to be put in oversight of raising up, we decided what we wanted to raise up was a human of great adventure, with a great calling, with a great dream? Isn't that what you would want to raise up out of a child? Wouldn't you want to raise up someone who had a great adventure, a great life, with a great dream to live to the full? Whatever you do, don't just be one more cog in the wheel of the machine. Whatever you do, remember that God has created you for greatness, for part of his kingdom. I love the text from today on the front of your card from the Gospel of Luke 17 chapter. Remember, this is Jesus speaking, and I'm going to cover the first two verses, and then I'm going to skip a bunch of the verses because it just wouldn't fit on the card. That's basically the real reason I'm not putting them all there. I would have loved to have put them all there, but there wouldn't have been room for my message. And so that's the reason they're all not there. That's just the practicality of it. Jesus replied, the kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, here it is, or it's over there. For the kingdom of God is already among you. And if you have a King James Version, a New Revised Standard Version, what it'll say is the kingdom of God is within you. But what he was trying to say is the kingdom of God is active, it's living, it's all around you. This is not something that you're going to be able to say, oh, look, there's the kingdom of God, or oh, look, there's the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is active. It's a living thing that's been here from the beginning. You're in the midst of the adventure of the kingdom. And then Jesus goes on to tell the story, and he tells a story about Noah. He tells a story about Lot, talking about Noah getting ready for the flood, and then he tells a story about Lot getting ready to leave Sodom and Gomorrah, and then he picks back up here, which is where we have to pick up because the rest of it didn't fit there. Yes, it will be business as usual, right up to the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, a person out on the deck of a roof must not go. Don't you love that? I love these new translations of the Bible. It's a New Living Translation. The reason I use it is because it's the Bible that you have in your seats. But I think it's so funny. Don't you imagine when we hear a person out on the deck of the roof, it sounds like they've all got beach chairs around and a little hibachi going with a barbecue or something like that. I'm guessing it wasn't really like that 2,000 years ago. Just for historical accuracy, I'm guessing the kind of, when we think the deck of the roof, not like that. Either way, it will be business as usual right up to the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, a person out on the deck of a roof must not go down into the house to pack. A person out in the field must not return home. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. And if you let your life go, you will save it. Wow. What does that even mean? If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you let your life go, you will save it. He's telling a story here now that really, in the most accurate sense of the word, it's about this. What you need to be in your life today is very, very present. You need to be very present in what you're doing. You need to understand that the kingdom of God is not someplace far away. The kingdom of God is not something mythical or even something mystical. The kingdom of God is right here. It's right now. It's all around you. It's within you. And then he talks about how we need to be ready for it. He says, when that moment comes that you come to the realization of the kingdom, if you're up there on the deck and that moment comes, you don't have time to go back downstairs. And if you're out in the field working, you don't have time to go back to the house. This is the time to embrace your moment, because when that moment comes, you want to make sure you don't miss it. Because if you cling to your life, and when he talks about life here, he's talking about that part of the machine that we've become. If you cling to that which seems so very, very important to us, that which we've invested ourselves in, if you say, wait a second, but this is all of my life, these things that I own, these things that I hold on to, these things that I've worked so hard for, these things that I attribute me to, the things that people look at me and say, oh, Eric, he's a pastor. Oh, Ken, he's a pastor. Oh, she's a teacher. He's a doctor. He's whatever. These things that we attribute ourselves to, these are not you at all. You need to learn to let go of your life. And when you let go of your life, you can save it. So how do we let go of our life? On the bottom of your card, it says, there are five lessons we learn every day in living forward. And in living forward, we begin, because really, can you get to tomorrow if you don't let go of yesterday? Impossible. Every single morning we wake up, we're letting go of yesterday. Now, the problem is that we've got memory banks. Problem is, we'll wake up first thing in the morning and think, oh man, I can't believe that. Oh, buddy. And even worse than that, now we've got cell phones, and we've got all that kind of stuff. We've got smartphones right next to our beds. Yesterday morning, your pastor's becoming such an old man. I apologize for you having to have an old man pastor. Yesterday morning, I woke up yesterday morning. I looked at the phone. My phone sits right next to my bed. First thing I do in the morning, I wake up. I look at my calendar, make sure everything's straight for the day. I know what it is. Right at the top of the phone, it said Tom Buckingham's birthday. So I thought, oh man, as soon as I get to the church, if Tom's there for prayer, I need to wish Tom happy birthday. I got here for prayer. Got down, we had our half hour prayer, we did our communion, we did everything. I saw Tom, I hugged him, said we decided to say goodbye. Totally forgot it was Tom's birthday. I got back to I turned on my desktop computer. On my desktop computer, the first thing that happens, my calendar comes up, and right there, Tom Buckingham, doggone it, what is wrong with me? And there I was stuck in what I was already forgetting to do, and yesterday. And all the things that I just caught up in, too many of us, that's what we get lost in. And for us, we need to make sure that we're living very, very present. So the first lesson we learn every day living forward is don't wait for a heavenly high sign. Get started. Don't wait for a heavenly high sign. I meet so many Christians who are waiting for God to intervene in their lives before they'll teach a Sunday school class, before they'll be a greeter, before they're singing the praise team, before they'll put their gifts to work, before they'll start doing anything for God. They're waiting for God to somehow, I don't know, send his only son, be born in a manger, to be raised up, live for 30 years, and then to start a ministry on earth for 3 years, and then be killed on a cross, and then be raised up from the dead to ascend unto heaven and say, I'm coming back. Oh, wait, that already happened, didn't it? All of that already happened. You don't need to wait for a heavenly high sign. In fact, you know what Jesus said about people who are waiting for miracles before they get started? He said, only a wicked and evil generation waits for these kinds of things. For you and me, our job is not to wait anymore for this heavenly high sign, but just get started. It says, yes, it will be business as usual right up to the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Jesus, just ahead of this, had talked about Noah. He said, do you think Noah waited until it started to rain to build his ark? He said, no. Long before it started to rain, he was building the ark. He was gathering the animals, getting everything ready. And then when it started to rain, bam, door just needed to be closed. They were ready. he had already got started. He said, do you think Lot waited until the fire and brimstone started to fall before he left? He said, no. He said, when God told him, well, actually with Lot, it took a little bit more, and Jesus was being generous here about Lot, to be honest with you, in this particular situation. But he made sure that he was on his way out, made sure he'd collected his family, and when he was outside in the valley, then the fire and brimstone started to fall. And what he's saying to you and me is don't wait. Get started right now. Stop missing out on the days that are going by. I love what Francis of Assisi said. He said, start by doing what's necessary, then do what's possible, and suddenly you are doing the impossible. I believe it. You know, if you'll just start doing just what's necessary, what's needed right now in your life personally, what's needed in the life of your family, what's needed in the life of your church, just get to it. And what you'll discover pretty soon is that you're in the midst of doing just not what was needed, but pretty soon what's possible. And then pretty soon it just seems like the impossible is happening. And there are all kinds of wonderful things that begin to develop just because you got started. And for us to get started, too many of us, we are way too busy with everything else, and we just don't take the time to get started. Secondly, second lesson we learn everyday living forward is we need to live ready. Don't be too attached to today. What's going to happen to today? Well, in about 12 hours, it's going to be yesterday. In fact, if you go to Kenya, it's already yesterday. Today is already yesterday. You go to Australia, it's already yesterday. I mean, today just goes by. It's gone, just like that. And we get so attached to today. And we need to live ready in this moment every single day. It says, on that day, a person out on the deck of a roof will not go down into the house to pack. A person out in the field must not return home. Have you ever had a great emergency where the only thing you could do is run to that emergency? You didn't have time to go get anything else. All you had time was just to go right to that emergency. That was it. I mean, there was nothing else that you could do but just run straight to that emergency. I remember Debbie called me once at home. The kids were little. We'd just recently moved up onto the hill 9 miles from the church. We'd lived next door until then. And Debbie called me and she said, Julie swallowed a marble. She's choking. It's stuck in her throat. And then she hung up. We didn't have cell phones or anything like that. I'm down here. I tried dialing back and dialing back. I'm imagining dialing 911, my daughter dead on the floor, you know, something like that. So I got in my car. I drove up the hill. I think I made it up there in like 10 minutes or something like that, which is breakneck time, you know. I'm running literally running every red light, doing 80 miles an hour, just incredible that I even made it. I come in there and Julie's sitting out in the front room. Hey, Dad, how you doing? What are you doing home? For 10 minutes, I thought you were dead, kid. What's wrong with you? And Debbie said, oh, you know what? She was choking on it. Then she just swallowed it. Right after I hung up the phone with you. Well, you could have called me back. Well, I called the office, but you weren't there. Judy said you had taken off in your car. Well, what'd you expect me to do? I thought you had called 911, you knucklehead. You know what I mean? I was freaking out. I wasn't thinking about going back to my office and making sure I'd left everything just exactly right. I wasn't thinking about going back to the field. I was thinking about one thing. My daughter's out there, and she just needs me there right now. I'm not thinking, well, she might just swallow it. And for each of us, I think there comes a time when we need to understand that when we are challenged, when we are drawn in, man, it's not time to think about, okay, well, what do I need to take care of back here before I make that decision up there? We need to realize that we just need to move forward, understanding that it's not time to think about, wait a second, but I've got, you know, plants out here in the field that I've been taking care of. My crop's not even harvested yet. Well, your crop's not the most important thing right now. Well, wait a second, I've got my family downstairs. I need to make sure I need to go take care of my family. Well, your family's not the most important thing right now. What's the most important thing is that the kingdom of God is alive within you and you're responding to it. Emily Dickinson said this. My mom, she was one of my mom's favorite writers. And so people like Emily Dickinson are people that we grew up with, and just, it was one of, she said, the soul should always stand ajar ready to welcome the ecstatic experience. What's it saying? The soul should always just be open, ready for what God is going to do, ready for that ecstatic experience, ready for that moment. But how many of us walk around with our souls closed off? And we wonder why we're not getting involved in situations. We wonder why these good things aren't happening in our lives, and we've closed our souls down. We need to live ready, that soul. In fact, not just ajar, but for the Christian, our souls should be wide open to God. Wide open for whatever it is that God wants to do in our lives. Third lesson we learn every day living forward is don't look back. And I try to use this point at least four times a year. This is my first time in 2017, so you can mark it down. But don't look back. You know, too many of us do. It says we need to live into God's promises. Jesus said it this way. He said, remember what happened to Lot's wife. I think this is the worst translation of it right here because I love the King James where it's just three words. Remember Lot's wife. It's just important for us to remember. Remember Lot's wife. Remember what happened? Everyone was running out from Sodom and Gomorrah, and he told Lot, said, whatever you do, don't look back, because God had told him, tell everyone not to look back no matter what. And Lot's wife was running out. She looked back, and she became a pillar of salt, stuck out in the meadow as a derelict forever. I mean, just stuck right there. And for each of us, what we need, yeah, it's hard to imagine that biblical derelict, isn't it? For each of us, I think we need to focus on our lives not looking back. And you know, the easiest it is to see when someone is living their life looking backwards is when we're looking at someone else. I mean, you look at your kids and you think, oh man, you know, really, you need to stop living in that problem. You need to start going forward. You look at your friends and say, oh man, you really need to stop living in that issue. You need to start living forward. But how often do we look in the mirror and say, you know, what am I still stuck in? What am I not getting past? Because each of us have things in our lives that, man, it's time for us just to take the next step. It's time for us to move forward. There's the wonderful reminder of sunrise. God didn't have to create the world in a way that we rotate around the sun. He didn't have to create the world so that as the world turns, we keep on going around like that. He didn't have to create us with a sunrise and a sunset. He could have had it so a light switch came on and a light switch went off. He could have had it so it was light all. He's God. But do you think there was something of a reminder for each of us? It is new every morning. It is new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And for us to look to the steadfast love of the Lord as a reminder to make sure that we're not looking back. We're remembering Lot's wife. We don't want to be her. We want to live in God's promises. What are God's promises? God's promises, I will never forsake you. I'll be with you till the very end. I love you. I've gone ahead of you to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come back that you also may be with me. In other words, don't be so concerned. I've taken care of all of the big stuff. And if I've taken care of all of the big stuff, get involved in living your adventure. Don't let the machine eat you alive. Live your adventure to the fullness of your being. It's what I've created you for. Imagine if each and every one of us as human beings just sprung up like flowers and we just became the incredible beings that God wants us to be. What an amazing creation this would be. But all too often we do nothing but try to get into that corn row. And how can I fit? How can I fit in the rows? How can I fit in the rows? I don't want to stick out. Whatever we do. And we are called to live out that adventure. Joseph Campbell said this. Joseph Campbell, he's a great guy because when you read about Joseph Campbell, he was famous for, I think it was the 70s, he came out with a famous slogan called Live Your Bliss. Live Your Bliss. And no one really knows if Joseph Campbell was an agnostic, if he was atheist. He was brought up in a Christian family. He was an interesting character. Not one of the guys that I encourage all of his reading, but not bad reading in general. It's the kind of stuff that would spur you on. And I believe he had a deep relationship with the Lord, just in a lot of different interesting ways, and not what we would call traditional ways. I mean, he was one of those guys who was a real spiritualist. He said, "We must let go of the life we have planned so as to accept the one that is waiting for us." And you know, the life so often that we have planned has nothing to do with what God has intended for you. And we need to learn to let go of the life that we've planned so that we can accept the one that's waiting for us. How many of you have already learned that lesson at some point in your life? And life took some turns that you certainly weren't expecting. And you know, it's just, and that life's waiting for us. And what you can do is you can sit around and go, "I can't believe my life went like this." Or you can just say, "Wow, I can't believe my life went like this." You can embrace it, you can find joy in it. And you can be the one who makes it what you want it to be. Fourth lesson we learn every day living forward is that real worth is in the surrender adventure. And I really believe that learning how to surrender is an adventure. I don't know about you, but surrender is not one of my easiest things. Surrender can be a real challenge for me. I mean, I have to discipline myself to surrender. I sat down yesterday in this beautiful dinner, and thank you so much for everyone who helped out. And I hope every single one of you are staying for the dinner or coming back for the dinner at 12 noon today, because Teresa's been here since 4 o'clock this morning cooking or something like that, giving herself to it. She's got a beautiful dinner. And yesterday she was here from early in the morning making sure that there was a meal here. And I mean, Ray was Irish, and so she made sure that she had cooked potatoes for everyone and had a full potato bar for everyone. It was just so beautiful. And Teresa's given herself so lovingly to this dinner. I mean, but to surrender like this, I sat down and I just preached the funeral, and it was one of those hard funerals. I cried in it, and I hate it when I cry in a funeral. I can't stand it because it's just you feel weak, and I feel like, you know, it's just, I shouldn't cry during a funeral. And it just, I mean, literally in my first 3 words, I started crying. I mean, because I'm looking out at my grandchildren realizing that I'm burying their great-grandfather, and it was awful. I went over there, I'm exhausted. I go to sit down, and I go through the potato bar, and I was a waiter in college, a waiter in restaurant, and being a waiter is a great job. I loved it. I loved it. I've often asked Debbie, I said, "Do you think I could be a waiter in my senior years too, you know, and I think I'd work out." So I stood next to Teresa, and she was giving potatoes to people, and I would cut them and rip off the foil and then squeeze them together, and people look, "Oh, you do such a nice job at that." Teresa said, "Eric, you can work with me, or Pastor, you can work with me anytime you want. You do a nice job at opening potatoes." I did it for years of my life. And then I went ahead and I sat down at a table, and that table was right in the middle of a political dialogue on the election. And they were in great disagreement. And I was thinking to myself, I wonder if there's a way I could politely say, "Oh, I should be over at that table over there." But right about the time when I thought, you know, I wonder if I could somehow slip away from this table because I'm not interested in everything that's going on at this table right now, one of the people pointed straight across at me and said, "Ask Pastor Eric. I know he voted for President Trump." And then said, "Didn't you?" And I said, "God bless you guys, I'm eating." And I put what else do you do? I mean, what else do you do in this moment? I'm thinking, okay, you go wrong, you go right, you go left, you go right, whatever you do at this moment, I mean, you are stuck. You are absolutely stuck in the middle of this at this table. And I'm just wanting to say, wasn't Ray a great guy? And which is, I think, how I transitioned it. Wasn't Ray a great guy or something like that? And I'm just absolutely put on the mark, you know. And I think for each of us, there are those times where we learn that, you know, surrender, I mean, is our real worth. And I just, instead of getting up and leaving the table, instead of getting up and doing any of that, I looked at him and I surrendered to the moment. And I said, "You know what, this probably isn't my best topic right now, but God bless you guys for your discussion. I'm going to enjoy my potato," or I said something like that. And I just, you know, just kind of tried my very best to go forward. And tried my very best to go forward in each of these things. For all of us, it says if you cling to your life, you will lose it. And if you let your life go, you will save it. Now, some of you are thinking, well, I don't know if I've ever surrendered to anything. Well, your parents forced you to surrender to school when you were a kid, and you went every day to school. Some of you went to college, and you surrendered willingly to college. A number of you have been married, and when you said, I do, you surrendered willingly to another person right across from you that you might be sitting with right now, smile and kiss them right now. We surrender in so many different ways, and yet we struggle with surrendering to our spiritual walk with the Lord. And this surrender is so important to us. I love what Pat Riley wrote. He said, if you have a positive attitude and constantly strive to give your best effort, eventually, and I think that eventually is an important word to circle there, eventually you will overcome your immediate problems and find you are ready for greater challenges. If you have a positive attitude and constantly strive to give your best effort, which kind of effort do you need to constantly strive for? Your best effort. Have you been doing that in your spiritual life? Striving for your best effort? Eventually, you know, that's like the eventual turn signal. How many of you are old enough to know what the eventual turn signal is? You're driving along and you look down and your turn signal, it's been blinking for the last 15 or 20 minutes, and you realize that eventually you're going to be turning right, so you might as well just leave it on anyway. I mean, that's the eventual turn signal. I mean, it just is what it is. And so eventually you will overcome your immediate problems and find you are ready for greater challenges. You want to be ready for greater challenges? You need to constantly be striving to give our best effort, which is a continually growing aspect of our lives. You see, we may surrender to school, we may surrender to college, we may surrender to a career, we may surrender to a marriage, but have you surrendered to your calling in Christ Jesus? See, it's one thing to say, I've received Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior, and if you have, that means he's been working on you with a calling. Christ Jesus saves those who he calls and he sends and commissions. Have you surrendered yourself to your calling and said, I'm ready for whatever God's ready for me? And wherever God wants to use me for, I am here. God, here I am, use me. And when we surrender to God for whatever it is, and I don't know what God wants you for, I'm not even close to God. Well, hopefully I'm close to God, but I mean I'm not close to being God. But I have no idea what God has called you for, but I do know that he's called you for the greatest adventure of your life and for his purposes, but it begins when we have that positive attitude, constantly striving to give our best effort and saying, this is where I'm going. And then it's not that it changes anything in the heart of God. From the moment you received Christ Jesus, God's calling was ready for you. It's that it changes us and it prepares us to be the people who will listen to God. And so finally, the fifth lesson we learn every day living forward is to celebrate life. Because God's kingdom invites us. You know, God's kingdom is not some dreary, gray place. God's kingdom is filled with color, with life, with hope, with joy. God's kingdom is what you were created for, each one of us. God's kingdom is for you and for me. Jesus replied, the kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, here it is, or it's over there, for the kingdom of God is already among you. Debbie and I love it when we go sailing. We try to sail every Monday and Friday. It doesn't happen that way. Sometimes the wind's too heavy. Sometimes it rains. But whenever we can, we try our very best to get on our little boat and go out and go sailing. One of the best things that can happen to us, and it hadn't happened for almost a year, is when we're surrounded by dolphins. And a week or so ago, we were out, and suddenly we were in maybe miles of dolphins. It was just phenomenal, literally square miles of dolphins. And they all wanted to be around our boat, every one of them. It seemed like every dolphin was fighting to be next to our boat. All around the back of our boat, all around the front of our boat. They were swimming with us, and they have no idea why dolphins do this, but they do. I mean, you can hear them. They squeak. They do all that kind of stuff, and you can watch them. And I always go up to the front of the boat, and I'll lean over the edge, and I get my phone out, and I'm taking pictures. I'm doing all the cool things I do because that's now what's on my phone. It's on my computer. It's everywhere. I mean, it looks like stuff right out of National Geographic. And I look at these creatures. Now, God created them too. You know their brains are almost as big as our brains? I mean, they're some of the most intelligent beings on the planet. And you know what they do when we come by? They swim over, and then they just start jumping over each other like this. They jump over, and they'll go real, real fast, and sometimes one will roll over on its back, and it'll go like this, right over on its back, while other ones are swimming over the top of it. There are all these cool things that roll over like this, and you can look, they'll look up. I've got a picture of one on my desk right now I took this week with one just looking right up at, with its eye. It'll just be looking, I'm looking right down at it. It's cool. You're looking at each other, at this other, you know, sentient being of some sort, you know? And it's just one of those things that makes me, I think, wouldn't it be cool if all of us lived our lives like that? Just wherever we did, we just thought, hey, you know what? Let's go. Let's find fish. Let's take off. When I was a surfer, we used to talk in the surf. If you could be any kind of animal instead of a human, and always surfers, dolphin, man. We want to be dolphin. You know how many natural predators dolphins have? One. Humans. 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 That's it. Other than humans, I mean, the dolphins roam 77% of the planet. And they laugh when we say, yeah, we're the ones who rule the world. And they say, we got 77% of it. You've got that other little 23% that you're fighting over. And we've got the other 77%. You feel free. In fact, we want to swim up your boats occasionally and just laugh at you. And just watch you go. As you think you're having fun as you're out here on our water. But you see, we're more like, now, Debbie and I were supposed to go out sailing Friday, but there had been big waves and there was high wind. And when it's like that, I kind of like to go out, and Debbie's kind of like, yeah, not so much, Eric, you know. And I said, well, honey, let's just try to go out. And so we just put up the mainsail, and we just motored, and we tried to go out. We got just outside the harbor, and Debbie took one look at me and said, this isn't going to be working, Eric. I said, you know, the boat just with the mainsail, everything's leaning over like this. Not a chance, honey. The water's a little too rough for me. I'm more of a fair-weather sailor than this. And just as she said that, just three great big solid black dolphins, I don't even know what kind they were, probably 12, 15 feet long, came swimming straight. I said, Debbie, look. And there they were swimming right, and they swam just as close as I am to Al right here. And they all just, I got my phone real quick, and I clicked, and they all just raised up just like they were looking at us. And then they swam right underneath the boat just past us, just like that. It was so cool. I said, Debbie, I got the best picture ever. It's like they came up for the photo. And I looked at my picture, and, you know, it was on auto. And so it adjusted its thing for the lighting perfectly. And so I caught it just when it got the lighting just right as they were going under the boat. I mean, just at that point. And I realized, you see, some things, it doesn't matter if you got a photo of it or not. What matters is if you lived it. I said, are you sure you want to turn around, honey? She said, yeah, let's follow those dolphins into the harbor. I mean, Debbie still wanted to turn around. But in that moment, we just got that brief glimpse. And it didn't matter if anybody else got it. We got it. You see, are you living your adventure? Because there's a brief glimpse that it's just waiting for you. There's a celebration of the entire planet that's waiting for you. You were created for more than the machine that you were made to serve by the world. You were created to celebrate the kingdom of God, which is within you, which is all around you. The kingdom of God is liberating us to be who we were meant to be. And what we get to say is, yes, God, that's what I want to do. I'm tired of living in my past. I'm tired of living backward. I want to begin to live forward, God, into what you've called me to be. I'm tired of being grumpy, of being nasty, of being argumentative. I'm tired of being rigid, of being narrow. I just want to be who you want me to be, God. I'm tired of being stuck on what's downstairs when I'm upstairs. I'm tired of being stuck on what's out in the field when I'm right here and you're speaking to me here. Because even here, when we have a challenge like this and you feel the Holy Spirit touch your heart, you're thinking, yeah, but what about this at my job? Or what about this at home? Or what about the kids here? We think about everything else, and that's exactly what Jesus told us. Don't do that. If you're up on the deck and the kingdom speaks to you, if you're out in the field and the kingdom speaks to you, remember Noah, remember Lot. In these moments, it's time for us to say yes and to move, because there's only destruction behind. And for us to say, I want to be ready. This moment, simple prayer at the bottom of your card. It says, more than anyone, Lord, you know where I've been and what's happening in my heart and life. I don't want any avenue to your grace to me or through me to be closed off. And I think this is important, because I think what we always pray for is God's grace to us and not God's grace through us. And you see, what God would have all of those of us who would follow him He wants us to be avenues of his grace through us. And when you've received his grace, we're to be those vessels of his grace. I don't want any avenue to your grace, to me or through me, to be closed off. Help me to follow your heart to genuine surrender. Thanks. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, and we thank you so much for the invitation to your kingdom. We thank you, God, for the invitation to step away from yesterday and into today. We thank you that you didn't create each one of us to be exactly the same, but instead that you created us this phenomenal bouquet, that when we're all together, God, we just are beautiful. We would ask that we could celebrate that, Father. We could celebrate our differences. We could celebrate that which makes us the best. And in this celebration, Father, of diversity, we would find a great unity in you, Christ Jesus. The unity that would be seen in the whole world, God, for that one who's here this morning still hurting over yesterday and doesn't know how to let go. For that one who it feels like the yesterdays have just piled up, Father, until they're just a weight on his or her back and soul and spirit until the door feels completely closed. I would ask they could open their heart, open their soul, and they could begin to feel your kingdom alive and working within them and through them, all around them, Father. Lord Jesus, that you would lift us up that we might be a light on this corner in our simple church. That as a light in this corner in our simple church at Central Community, Father, that we might begin to change households and lives in Riverside, and that Riverside might become a dynamic in California, and that California might begin to change the world, Father, because of the one who said yes today. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the invitation away from yesterday and into today. In Jesus' name we pray.